Hello, and welcome to the Game Nexus Podcast, Episode 4. This is Game Master 14, and with me, as always, is Inyufei. You may greet our public Inyufei. There you go. Today we're going to be talking about sequels, and how games improve, don't improve, and just about everything else.
Yes, sequels are tasty, and also quite disgusting at the same time.
And of course, sometimes they leave a horrible taste in your mouth.
And sometimes they go on for too fucking long. So, if you want to start it, I guess we're going to start off with our first segment and what we've been playing again.
Okay,
you been playing anything big, Game Master?
Other than a couple things I just, like, picked up for a little while, like I was telling you yesterday, I was playing Soul Calibur on the Dreamcast with, of course, the VGA box. And, of course, it looks much more high-res than it usually would on your standard TV.
Yeah. It does look a lot better on the VGA box. I also have mine running on my VGA box.
Yeah, the texture detail is the main thing you usually see. Like, stuff you normally wouldn't see on, like, somebody's, like, arm or something, say there was, like, some fine detail there. Kind of be a little blurred on your regular TV.
I almost feel like the Soul Calibur on Dreamcast looks a little better than the Soul Calibur 2 that's on PS2. Just from what I've played of the two. I haven't put Soul Calibur 2 in my PS3 to see what it looks like upscaled to high def, but I plan on doing that, and then I'll compare the two.
Yeah, I wanted to take a look at Soul Calibur 2 on the 360 and see how that looks.
Yeah. Yeah, so, So, anything else you've been playing besides that?
Nothing really major except for the, like, usual Morrowind. I recently beat the main quest of Tribunal, which was one of the expansion packs there. The other day I picked up and played a little bit of Neverwinter Nights 2, tried a little bit more of Oblivion, you know, the usual. And, of course, I don't know if I might have mentioned this last time, but Neverwinter Nights 2 finally fully works with X-Fire in-game and all, which I'm so happy to find out.
Thank God. Now, if X-Fire can just get to run with Shadowrun, then we'd all be good, because right now, not really working.
Yeah, the problem before with Neverwinter Nights 2 is that you could see people's messages, but you couldn't bring up any in-game control, so you couldn't respond to them or even take screenshots, which was annoying.
Yeah, that's really stupid. That kind of defeats the purpose of X-Fire.
It's like you'd be like, hey, what's up? And I'd be playing Neverwinter Nights 2, and I would want to reply, but I couldn't. It's like, do I want to talk to Inyufei, or do I want to keep playing? So I just stopped playing for a while. Because I
really,
didn't
normally,
have...
I would think it would be, just keep on playing.
Well, what I did is I haven't played that game for a while, because I just got annoyed that, like, say, I'd be playing it, then you'd come online, you'd be like, hey, I want to go play Xbox, and I didn't want you to think I'm just ignoring you.
Yeah. I'm glad, like, if X-Fire didn't have their in-game ability in World of Warcraft, probably would have strangled someone by now.
Now if they could only get it to work on Elder Scrolls 4 Oblivion, that would be nice. It still crashes the whole freaking game if you have in-game enabled in X-Fire during Oblivion.
Yeah, I noticed that. So, that seems about it, right?
Yeah, that's just about
Anything
it.
Else?
Nothing really big. I tried out, like, of course, yesterday I tried out the King of Fighters Maximum Impact Regulation A, which is a enhancement of King of Fighters Maximum Impact 2, added characters such as, let me think, what are those characters' names? One's like Zayn something or other, and there's a few from other series. There's, like, all the characters from 2. Although, Benny Maru is gone. You know, that dude with the big, big puffy blonde hair that kind of looked like a big version of Paul Phoenix's hair.
What? That guy was awesome.
Yeah, he's not in it. I was like, where the hell is Benny Maru? He's not here. Because usually I play as Kula, Kyo, and Benny Maru. That's my usual tag team. But, of course, Mai's a lot better in Maximum Impact because her combos are just a lot nicer. And speaking of Mai, yes, her boobs bounce in Maximum Impact just like they used to bounce in the 2D games. They're really like above the Dead or Alive Extreme 2 level.
Wow. So are they just like above her neck or like above her eyes?
They just bounce an awful lot. As in, whereas Maximum Impact 1 and even a little bit in 2, it was more of a natural bounce. Now it's just like, whoa, you're like, wow, she's got boobs.
Hells yeah.
Badong, badong.
Dong-a-dong. Dong-da-dong.
Yep.
So, one question about that. I remember the last King of Fighters game, the guy I would play as, he was like this kind of this old guy, and he had these little claws, and he was like a companion to the big guy with the chain and ball. Is he in the 3D version?
Oh, I know exactly who you're talking about. I did not see him, but don't quote me on it. I did not see him. He might have been in Maximum Impact 2, but I'm not sure.
Because that guy was pretty awesome.
Fio's in it from Metal Slug.
Oh, that's pretty sweet.
Although I wish Eri was in it, because she actually is in Maximum Impact 2. I think she's unlockable, and she's like one of the character's alternate costumes. I think she's one of Fio's alternate costumes.
You know that Maximum Impact they put out on the Xbox? What was it, Maniacs or something?
Yeah.
Is that backwards compatible?
Not yet. Still waiting. Although,
hope.
Knowing them, they're probably not going to do it because Maximum Impact 3/360, it's been called both for some reason, is currently in development.
Oh. Any release date? Any time frame?
No idea. And the only reason that Regulation A got released for PlayStation is it's a port of the first arcade version of the series. Regulation A basically is just an upgrade of 2, but they released it in the arcade on the Taito Type X2 arcade hardware, of course abandoning a Thomas Wave.
So, say that, you know the 360 version is going, Virtua Fighter 5 is going to be the Revision C?
Yeah.
Of Virtua Fighter, where the PS3 version is Revision A?
Yeah.
Is there any real big differences between Revision A and C? Like something you drastically notice in gameplay changes?
It's probably more like tweaks and tuning. I doubt it's all that much. You know, there might be like maybe one or two like new moves or something. I've seen like in, I remember in Soul Edge, I remember them having this Version C. And going back to our original topic back when I was talking about my... One of the biggest changes in Version C of Soul Edge was Taki's boobs bounced. Everyone always says that. So if you like boot that up like in Zinc or something, you'll notice that she's got a little bit more bounce in her step. But I think there were some like added moves, added costumes, because you could select all the alternate costumes from the character selection screen. You didn't have to run through hoops. Usually just like tweaks like that, nothing like major. Like you won't find a new character or someone having a brand new moveset. Just a few little tweaks. But still worth it nonetheless. Haha, in your face, PS3.
But the thing is, there's rumors that the PS3 version could get that revision update. Like, they could, but I don't think they're going to get the online, since with PS3, Sega would have to set up their own servers to host it. But I hear things that they could be getting Revision C. Like, they could get an update to Revision C that Sega would be willing to do that, but I don't think they'd be willing to make their own servers for Virtua Fighter 5.
Yeah, to this day, I still say that's Sony's biggest mistake, not having something like Xbox Live where nobody has to host their own servers. It's more peer-to-peer, which works fine, if you ask me.
Yeah, it works peer-to-peer, but the only problem is you can't really support more than 16 in any games without getting massive lag.
Eh. Don't really want more than 16, personally.
So, I've noticed then games like, there's one game on Xbox Live is coming out, and it's like, is it Frontlines or something? Is going to have dedicated servers, and you can do up to 32 people.
What, is that, a shooter?
It's like this weird Battlefield RC type game. It's kind of strange. Remember that mod that came out for Battlefield called Desert Combat? It was huge.
Not really. Didn't really play much Battlefield.
it was a total conversion mod for Battlefield 1942 that kind of turned into this realistic modern-day shooter in the Middle East, which I guess eventually DICE warped into Battlefield 2. But it's made by that development team somebody bought them and turned into a development studio. And now they're making this game, and it'll be the first game on Xbox Live to use dedicated servers.
So it proves that Xbox Live can use dedicated servers, unlike the...
It can.
PS3 yeah. fanboys keep saying, oh, but you have to host peer-to-peer, and you can't do anything else. Ha ha ha. We're so superior. Oh, I missed my $600.
Yeah. I just had to say that.
The funny... the thing is, it's not the peer-to-peer and dedicated server difference that makes it so much different for the PlayStation 3, is that their network infrastructure is open instead of closed like it is on the Xbox. That's what's allowing Epic to bring the PC mods over to the PS3.
The only problem I see there is more possibility of cheating. Just imagine if people found a way to cheat the game, they could never get killed, and they're
it's gonna be huge. It's going to be huge. They really have to work to make that work.
Yeah, whereas online...
Another thing also worries me that the way they're coded, if you look, the way the PS3 version is going to be coded and the way it's going to be optimized to run on the PS3 is much different than the way, the PC version is coded. Because, PC software isn't really optimized too much because of all the different variables in everyone's computers. You can't program and optimize for one certain set of hardware.
But of course they do optimize it a bit, so you're running it on your SLI GeForce 25 cards and you're not getting 2 frames per second. They do optimize it so it runs better than it does on their dev machines.
Yeah. They'll do that. But what I'm worried about is when the PC people make their mods, they're making it off the PC version and the PC source thing. So when they go to the PS3 is somebody going to watch and, transfer that code to make it work correctly on the PS3 when you download it? A lot of iffy things between the we're going to be able to put PC mods on PS3. The first thing that came to my head is, how are they going to do it? Because the PS3, as you know, only has 512 megs of system RAM, which 256 is dedicated for the graphics card, and 256 can be used for the rest for whatever developers want, as opposed to the Xbox 360, where it's 512 megs of RAM for the whole system, but developers can split it up any way they want to.
The one thing that makes me think of is The Elder Scrolls 3 Morrowind. People have made tons of awesome mods for the PC, but if you have a modded Xbox, there is a way to install the mods in your Xbox and have a modded Xbox version of the game, which is nice and all, but a lot of the mods, people have to lower the resolution of the textures. There's one mod that will actually eliminate useless geometry, let's say there's a stone on the road or there's a can sitting in the corner. They'll get rid of all those dumb little bits so there's more frames per second to run the game, which of course can cause a problem, but they optimize the mods for the Xbox version. Yeah, there's even a site where the guy would do all that stuff.
Yeah, that's just gonna worry about me. I don't know if the PS3 version is gonna be able to keep up per se in frame rates and stuff.
Yeah, just get the PC version and don't worry about it.
Yeah, I was never planning on. When people are like, "Oh, the PS3 version is gonna be so viable because they have that FragFX." Keyboard and mouse, it's like, no, that's just going to make the gameplay really unbalanced, because anyone that has the keyboard and mouse will just dominate anybody else on the PS3.
Although there is people who could, pwn anyone with a gamepad. Those people are, so weird and elitish with their gamepads.
Yeah. Yeah, but the thing is, alright.
Well, going back to our topic we were talking about maybe, 5-10 minutes ago, what are you playing now, Inyufei?
I downloaded the Heavenly Sword demo that just came out on the PSN a couple days ago. And I have to say, I know when game first got announced and people were looking at it, they were poking at it and saying, oh, Goddess of War, from what they've been seeing of it.
Yeah.
But the gameplay's a lot different than God of War. It's not quite a you know how God of War is really button mashy? Like, you can just mash on a button and you'll normally win. You don't have to worry about your things like that. Heavenly Sword is a lot... I feel the combo system and stuff like that is a lot deeper.
What do you think of that whole system where you have, like, different fighting stances? Do you think that works or do you find it a little clunky?
It works pretty well. Like, what you'll see is, if you ever watch gameplay of it, you'll see, like, certain enemies, like, they'll glow blue, or they'll glow red, or they'll have a glow orange. What you have to do is, like, if you see a glow blue, it means you need to counter with your speed stance. So when they come in, you have to press triangle to counter. Like, if they come in with orange, you have to use your power, so you have to hold R1 and then hit triangle, because you'll be in your power stance, and then you'll do a different counter for their power move. Or if they're going to attack from a ways and they're red, you'll hold L1 and then hit triangle, and you'll do a different counter for a ranged attack, which is pretty cool. But the thing is, like, there's no dedicated block button. If you just stand still, you'll block, so you have to rely a lot on countering, and you have to time the counters perfectly, and the quicker you get your counters timed down, the more damage you'll do, and sometimes if you do it really good, you'll do an instant kill, and you'll just finish them off.
My only question about that is, let's say one of those things come up, and you have to counter with your speed thing. Can you go ahead and, like, say screw that and counter with something else, or must you do...
You must. You have to. Otherwise, it'll just knock you down.
The only thing that reminds me of is the abysmal, total, disgusting failure that was Sonic Heroes. The problem with that game was when certain parts required you to use certain parts of your team. Like, there were certain parts that only Tails had to be the leader. There were certain parts where Knuckles had to be the leader. And there were certain parts that it'd be dumb not to have Sonic as a leader, which made the gameplay feel more or less like a chore, or like the game was forcing you to do this instead of that. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, it's weird because normally it doesn't feel like it's forcing you because you don't have to counter them at all. You can stand still and you'll block whatever they'll do. I played Sonic Heroes also, and it doesn't really feel like that chore, because you don't have to counter them. Like, you can normally just use some of the combos and start and just mash them around, because if you use ranged attack, I found ranged doesn't really work so well when you're up close. Normally speed is the best for working up close. And you think, it's not like in Sonic Heroes where it would take time to switch in between one of the characters to do this or that. And it's not really forced like it was in Sonic Heroes, where it's just like all you have to do is tap a button to counter differently. Like, instead of just pressing triangle, you just hold down L1 and then hit triangle, or hold down R1 and then hit triangle. It takes like a split second. It's not like Sonic Heroes where it takes like, you know, a minute to switch between one of your characters and stuff.
It didn't take a minute. It only took like a couple seconds, but still, it was like there's parts where you had to have a certain guy as your teammate, your team leader, or you couldn't progress at all. So
it's not like that. It's not like that in Heavenly Sword at all. No.
Well, I heard the demo was actually pretty short.
It is short. I can get through a game. I can get through it in about 5 minutes. But it's, from what I've played, it's really good. It's shaping up to be probably the second best action game to come out this year.
Okay. Well, what else have you been playing?
Also downloaded the Tekken 5 Dark Resurrection off PSN, which is the full arcade version of Tekken 5, not the watered-down PSP port. If you know, in a couple weeks, that version is supposed to get... They're getting the online patch, and they're getting the update to get all the features that the PSP version had. And it looks really good, like... For being a PS2 game, it looks pretty good. Still, gameplay is rock solid. I know you say there's Virtual Fighter, and then there's different revisions they have. Well, the Tekken Dark Resurrection's differences, you can actually notice without like being a super hardcore deep player knowing like everyone's movesets by heart.
Like, what are some of the differences between Tekken 5 and Tekken Dark Resurrection?
Basically, like, if you know, my main character I use all the time is Jin Kazama.
Oh, good, you didn't say Paul Phoenix. I don't know why I hate that guy.
Me too. So, like, I noticed between Tekken 5 and Tekken Dark Resurrection that Jin got a ton of upgrades because he was just completely nerfed in Tekken 5 because they changed his entire moveset from Tekken 4 to 5. Like, he did not play the same at all. So what they did is they made him, if you remember playing him, he played asininely slow in 5, and they sped him up and made him a good bit more powerful, and they gave him a couple new stances and stuff to use in 5 Dark Resurrection. So, I mean, it's pretty good. Like, for $20, I mean, you can go buy the PS2 version, but if you have the PS3, I say get the Dark Resurrection. I mean, it only has an arcade mode, a practice mode, and a versus mode, but you still have all your character customization options and stuff like that. They're hidden in there. There's just not all those extra BS like time attack and the dojo mode that was in the PSP version.
Survival.
But in the survival, but I never really play those. Most of the time, I'll just do either arcade.
With Soul Calibur on the Dreamcast, the mode I usually play is survival, because it's just one of those things. I want to beat the score that I got before, and just one of those things. The reason why your Tekken Dark Resurrection looks so good is the arcade version was based on a hardware called System 256, which actually was an enhancement from the more standard 246 hardware, which basically is just like an upgraded PS2. So it's not like running on stock PS2 hardware. It's running on, like, let's say, more RAM or more video RAM or a faster CPU or something. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So it's not like baseline PlayStation 2 hardware. So it just, if you were to see the arcade version, you'd say, oh wow, that looks better than the PS2 version. No contest.
Yeah. So basically, it comes down to the three versions of Tekken 5. There's the PS2 version, there's the PSP version, and then there's the PS3 version. The PS2 version is kind of the weakest of them all, in my opinion. The PSP version would be the kind of the second tier, because it's got all the gameplay options. It's got a ton of them. More than the PS2 version. But then again, it doesn't have the good as graphics as the PS2 version, and, you know, it's got the damn PSP D-pad, which kind of, you know, really sucks.
And you also got to give the PS2 version some credit, because it's got, like, all kinds of extra modes, the arcade history mode and all that funky little cool stuff.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah, that's in there, too.
Do you own the PS2 version?
I do. I own all three versions.
Just for an experiment, what you gotta do is take the PS2 version, put it in, and see what it looks like upscaled and stuff, just for fun.
I should, yes. I remember when EB Games clearanced out their Tekken 5 Ultimate Collector's Edition. I don't know if you remember, but when Tekken 5 first came out, you know, they announced that Uber $100 bundle with the incredible joystick and the History of Tekken DVD and collector's box set thing and all that.
Yeah, I remember you telling me all about that.
They clearanced it out, and I got it for $30, which I thought, you know what, $10 for that awesome joystick is worth it.
Cool.
So I have that one. I have the standard PSP version, which I have played a ton of, because I remember I used to play that all the time during class, because I didn't have anything else to play on my PSP. And then the PS3 version. The PS3 version has the lack of features, because it is the arcade version, but it has the best gameplay.
Kind of like King of Fighters Maximum Impact Regulation A is more or less a port of the arcade version. And they didn't, like, add in mission mode and fight the tank mode that was in Maximum Impact 2.
Fight the tank?
There was one mode where you fought the Metal Slug tank.
Oh. Was it kind of like the old Street Fighter 2 levels where you'd have to beat up the car as fast as you could?
Nope. The tank moved and shot you.
Oh, man.
It was one. I think it was one of the missions in mission mode. So yeah, it was kind of fun.
That's pretty cool.
Okay. Well,
speaking of all these fighting, I have playing World of Warcraft as usual.
You get to that Burning Crusade stuff yet?
My guild summoned me out to the main city that's in the Burning Crusade that you can use as a hub. It's kind of a hub of the whole world, and there's portals to every major big city in the game.
The whole world of Warcraft?
the whole world of Warcraft. Yes. So I have my hometown set to there, so if I'm anywhere in the world, I can hit my Hearthstone, and I'll go back to there, and then I'm in the hub to go anywhere in the whole world I need to go. So that made it really nice. Yes. But that's basically the only thing I've seen of Burning Crusade. Because when I went outside that city, it was like... In Warcraft, for the people that don't play it, when you go outside of a city and you go and look and you see an enemy that's way over your level, they'll have a death icon around them. Because normally you'll see a portrait of them and then it'll show you their level. If they're way too high for you, they'll show an icon and then a skull to show you that you'll probably die killing this thing.
I will pwn you.
Yeah, so I went outside and there was this mob of five or six of them with all these skulls over. I was like, "Yeah, I'm going back inside now."
So I ran back inside. What do you need to get to be up to level with all that stuff? And what do you have?
I think you need to be around, from what I've heard, probably 65 or so to start killing that stuff.
And what do you have?
43.
Ouch.
Yeah, considering right now and where I'm at, it takes me... I'm in the most boring part of the game. From level 40 to 60 is the worst. And right now, it takes me around 8 hours to level one time.
Ouch.
So, it starts getting real slow once you start getting there. But I can do... There's a whole bunch of dungeons I need to go do. I need to go do Zul'Farak. And I need to finish out... What's the other one? There's another one I need to finish out. I can't remember. I need to finish that one out, and I got a whole bunch of quests I need to finish. And hopefully I'll get up there, and I'll continue to play it, because I still like it a lot. I don't know, I'm getting a little tired of the gameplay based off die rolls, so hopefully something new MMO is going to come up where gameplay is not based on die rolls. And gameplay is actually based on, actions you do, where you'll, actually fight things and not just click and watch. So
you mean more like an action MMORPG?
Yeah, kind of like, Guild Wars is still kind of clicky. It's a little better, but it's still clicky and watch what happens. But if you looked and seen that Age of Conan game that's coming out for PC, that is a real action MMO. You'll swing your sword, you'll do damage... you have to fight things for real, not just based off die rolls.
Will that have a monthly fee?
I think so. I think it's going to be $10.
Well, have you been playing anything else?
I have. I've been doing the cheap-ass gamer has been doing, Xbox Live gaming nights, and I've been getting on and playing Rainbow Six with all those guys, because... Those guys aren't necessarily very good at Rainbow because we all play a bunch of different games. Rainbow. So we kind of all just get together and play for fun, even though none of us are really good. So it's kind of funny when I'm playing for 10 minutes and I have 6 kills, I pull open the leaderboards and I'm second on kills.
Huh.
So no one is very good in there. We all shoot like we're Ray Charles. But it's a hell of a lot of fun because it's pretty cool to play with people that you've been talking to on message boards for a long time. So that's pretty good. There's only a couple problems with that game. They kind of really consoleized it compared to the last one that came out, Rainbow Six 3.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the last real one. I don't really count the Critical Hour shit they put out. And Lockdown. Lockdown was horrible. So that... I've also been playing Ratchet & Clank Up Your Arsenal, which is the third Ratchet & Clank game. So I'm trying to finish that and Ratchet Deadlocked before Ratchet Future Tools of Destruction for PlayStation 3 comes out.
That sounds so gay. I don't know why.
I don't know. I think, you know how the other ones kind of have a play on words, like Going Commando and Up Your Arsenal?
Uh-huh.
I think... And people look at it and they're like, oh, it doesn't have a silly little pun. It's like, no, I just don't think you see the pun outright like you do with the other ones. I think the pun is, if you look, Ratchet and Clank are kind of the future, because this one's set, like, a good couple years more so than the other ones were, like, away from the third one.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think they call it, that's why they call it future, and tools, because I think Ratchet and Clank are actually tools that are being used by somebody.
Huh.
Because they're tools, and, you know, they just blow up things, so that's what I think of it.
Ratchet,
so far.
Tool.
But, Ratchet 2 and Ratchet 3, as much as I love the Ratchet games, they are very similar. The only difference is, I think, in Ratchet 3, you have a health upgrade system, is the more people you just kind of kill, the more hit points you get, and you kind of level up your hit points that way.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's kind of RPG-ish, so it's like, if you can't beat something, you can just kind of go around and kill a whole bunch of stuff, and then get enough HP to go through and finish it off.
More or less, go leveling.
Go leveling, yeah. So it's kind of cool in that aspect. You can drive vehicles, but the vehicles aren't very cool. I tried to get online, but I think they pulled down the online servers. Because I know you can use... Yeah. If anything, they'll probably be up... They might be up for Ratchet Deadlocked, but I haven't tried Ratchet Deadlocked. I would think that Insomniac would just be hosting servers for Resistance right now. And
that's,
nothing else.
That's one of the reasons I kind of like Xbox Live so much, because we can play, like, an old-ass Xbox game online right now, and it's not like any servers that will be offline because they're using the resources for something else.
Yeah. Well, but the thing, they also do that on PC. Like, PC servers go down after a while also. I think Xbox is kind of its only kind.
Cool thing about PC is you can make your own server.
Yeah, that's true, but servers are a little intensive.
Yeah.
You can rent out. You can normally rent out servers and then get them to install any game you want on there too. So if you really want to play a game, if you have the money, you can play it online.
And plus, it's one of those things. If you really want to play the game and you have a fast enough internet connection, you can host a game.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not like you really have to use a server. So PC games are kind of like, yeah, you can play any game as long as you have a friend who wants to play too.
So yeah. Last weekend, I went to EB, and I bought Resistance Fall of Man to play on my PS3, because I needed something to play on it. And so I got it home, and I didn't think before I left...
Since there's so few games.
That right now, there are a few games to play on there. I got home, and there was no manual to the case. And so I was pissed off, because I'm one of those... I don't know, I'm kind of anal about... games not being complete. Like, if I'm going to buy a pay game, I want there to be the manual, I want the cover, and I want the disc to be, you know, pretty much kind of scratch-free, or a couple scratches I'm not going to have a heart attack
about.
Yeah,
I need to have everything, too.
Yeah. So, I brought it back, and the guy, he was giving me hell about bringing it back. He's like, well, does the game work? And I was like, the game is fine. It works fine. I just want my money back. This is, like, the day after I bought it.
Uh-huh.
I was like, I want my money back, because... you know, there's no manual, and I want a manual. Can you see if you have a manual? And the same thing happened with Ratchet Deadlocked. I brought both of them back. And he said... He's like, oh, well, let me go look. And so he goes and looks. He moseys around for, like, 10 minutes. He talks to somebody else while he's looking for my stuff, which kind of pissed me off.
Moseys.
So, yeah.
This, like, in Final Fantasy VII, let's mosey.
So, I kind of just glance over at him, and I'm thinking, what the hell, man? You know... Where's my stuff? So he's like, oh, yeah, I'm getting your stuff. Don't worry about it. So finally he comes back after looking around, you know, gracefully. What he does is he robs a Ratchet manual out of one of the other Deadlock cases that were there.
Uh-huh.
And so I got that, and then he was like, well, this is the only copy of Resistance we have that's used. Since, you know, the game's $55. If I buy it used, I'm saving, like, $12 if we're buying it new with tax.
Uh-huh.
So he was like, well, I was like, well, I'm gonna return it. And he was like, well, I don't know if I should let you return. And I was like, don't you tell me every time I buy a game, used game here, that I have 7 days to return it no matter what the problem is.
What'd he say?
And he was like, well, that's only for some things. And I was like, well, you told me last night when I bought this game that I can return it for any exception. And he was like, well, I guess so. And he was huffing and puffing about it. He's like, well, what do you want? So just to fuck with him, what I was doing It's like, there was, I would be like, oh, okay, so I think I want to buy a, I think I just want to put my money, like, really fucked with them. I was like, I think I just want to spread the $55 between reserves on 10 different games, right? Because if you know, like, the EB guys and GameStop guys, like, they get fired if they don't get enough reserves, which is part of the reason why I got fired, because I didn't like being a salesman. So, over a month, I only had, like, 15 or 16 reserves, which I found out was not the lowest at all, but my manager is just such a dickhead.
What did you need?
I have... you only needed 10 a month to stay, and I had 15. So I would have been fine. It's just that my manager stole... Like, I kept track in my head of how many I had over every night, and I had 15. My manager's such a dickhead. He stole 6 of my numbers and added it to his, so it looked like I only had 9, and he said I had to go. So that's why I originally left GameStop. And plus, there's a lot of other stories I have about him of how fucked up he was.
Do you ever get to play in either of those two games?
Yeah, I have Ratchet Deadlock now. I have it. Okay. With the manual and case and everything, and the disc is really good. So, eventually, with the money... Resistance, no, I didn't buy a new copy. I mean, I kept fucking with them. I was like, okay, I want to... There's so many games coming out that are so awesome. I just want to put 10 reserves down. And there's like 5 or 6 guys behind me. And it's awesome. I'm just fucking with this guy. I took like 25, 30 minutes standing at the counter. There must have been like 4 or 5 guys that came and left in a line and went out the store because I was taking so long and they only had one cashier.
Awesome. You made them lose business.
Yeah, it was awesome. That's what I was doing. So I fucked with them so much. And it was finally, I looked over and they had a... You remember the 20th anniversary Game Boy Micros they made that looked like the Famicom controller?
Yeah.
They had one of those used, but it was like, basically like, instead of being used, it was just like they had a new one, cut open the label, cut it open, and slapped a used label on it.
Huh.
So, everything was in there. Charger was still in the plastic, the micro was still in the plastic, looked like it hadn't even been used before, all the documentation was in there, like, all the stuff. So I was like, it was $40, I think, so I was like, fine, I'm taking it. And he's like, well, what do you want to put the $10 on? And I was like, well, I don't know. So I had $10 and a penny. And so what I did is I put the reserve, the $10 down on Rock Band drums, which I need to go cancel because I've got the Amazon $200 whatever Rock Band bundle pre-ordered now.
Rock Band bundle.
Yeah. Which EA is saying, oh, that might not be $200. Or that might not even be true, because if it was $200, it'd be a savings of, like, $50. Which is not bad. Since I hate EA, because EA has just turned into, like, the devil lately. But that's another topic altogether. So, what I did is I put the $10 on the Rock Band, and he was like, well, you have 2 cents left. So I was like, well, put it on... He's like, do you want it back in cash, or do you want it on a gift card? I was like, put it on a gift card. 2 pennies. So, like, he tries to put it on a gift card, and his machine starts fucking up. And it, like, wouldn't put the money on the gift card. So he has to call up the corporate helpline. And he has to say 10 minutes worth of digits into this computer automated program to put 2 pennies worth of shit on my card. I was like, strike again. Like, and I must go in that EB probably, you know, once or twice a week. Sometimes just to look around, see if they have any, like, used stuff come in that's kind of rare. Because that's the only way, like, you can find... Sometimes you can find, the Shin Megami Tensei games.
Oh, that's so just funny.
Yeah, so I really fucked with the guy like that, and he looked like he was going to hurt me at the end. And I was like, thank you very much. And I almost wanted to come back in and use the 2 cent gift card again. Because after that, he was like, our gift card thingy is down. We can't do it.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, it was going to be awesome. So... I have a 2 cent EB Edge card now.
You should make that like as one of our prizes for like a giveaway contest or something. You've heard the story, now have the card.
This thing could be worth a lot of money someday.
Maybe even 2 cents.
So I did that, and then I think I went back the other day, and lo and behold, they had some good stuff come in used. Which, it seems like my EB or GameStop, some dumb shit will trade in as kind of rare used stuff.
Uh-huh.
That's in pretty good condition. And it will either have all of its stuff or none of its stuff. So I got the Bully PS2 Collector's Edition used, which was like $24. Complete. It has still has the unflated dodgeball inside of it, the fake graduation certificate from the high school that's in Bully, and a whole bunch of Rockstar and Bully stickers inside of it.
Oh, wow.
And the game is basically flawless. Nothing wrong with it. So I got that, and I picked up a pretty good copy of Metal Gear Solid 2 Substance for the Xbox. Since that's backwards compatible, I want to see the differences between the PS2 version upscaled and the Xbox version upscaled, see if they look any different.
I have a feeling the Xbox will look better. So like, I think that...
The only thing...
Didn't that game have more polys to start with?
Yeah, I think it did, but we'll see what it looks like. We'll see if the Xbox hardware upscaling looks better, or if the PS3 software upscaling looks better.
Okay, so are you actually playing anything else now? Or can we, like, officially close that topic now after, like, 41 minutes?
I think we can close that topic now. Yeah, I'm pretty much done with everything I've been playing.
Okay,
I also pre-ordered the, I don't know if you've seen it, but they're making a special DS for when Brain Age 2 comes out. That is, black and crimson red, which are my two favorite colors.
Oh, wow.
So I pre-ordered that DS because I gave my DS to my girlfriend as her birthday present.
Cool.
Because I just want an excuse to get a cooler looking one, besides the white one. So, and also it comes with a copy of Brain Age, so that comes out in a couple weeks. So, is that about it from you and me for this?
Yeah.
Okay. So, alright, so we're going to move on. We're going to talk about a couple of things that came up in the news this week. Not much, you know. Not much coming and going on. One thing that was interesting is, I don't know if you saw it, but Rockstar said they're going to start developing an exclusive franchise for the PlayStation 3. So, I don't know if Sony opened up their money wallet and were like, hey, Rockstar, hey, come here, you want to make some money? And they just wrote them a nice, you know, nice check, considering Microsoft, as you know, paid Rockstar $50 million for their exclusive 360 content.
Or you never know, it could just be that they want to do this, but as a lot of us are suspecting that, that Microsoft might very well buy, like,
I think they'll buy out Take-Two. It could be an early buyout of Take-Two.
You never know. We'll
because
see.
And, you know
any other news stories interesting?
You know the well. This is just kind of an aside. You know the studio. You know Retro Studios that makes Metroid Prime for Nintendo.
Yeah.
Nintendo bought Retro Studios for $15 million. Just to give you an idea of how much Microsoft spent on this exclusive GTA content.
Huh.
So, in other news, I don't know if you saw, but September's EGM scores came out. Normally, it's, you know, not a big deal. People were like, oh, magazine scores, what do I care? But what's interesting is it's kind of the first real good review of Lair to come out. And as people know, Lair is the game from Factor 5. And Factor 5 made all the Rogue Squadron games on GameCube, which were, you know, pretty cool for Star Wars flying games and stuff. Probably the coolest Star Wars flying game since X-Wing and TIE Fighter on the PC.
Yeah, and this Lair game was more or less a killer app for the PS3, wasn't it?
That's what people were saying. Like, the graphics looked pretty cool. Like, it had a really cool concept with kind of the dragons and stuff. But what surprised me is that they gave it a 5.0, a 5.5, and a 6.
Ouch.
But as you know,
EGM
is pretty harsh and critical on a lot of games. So, but also in that month, Blue Dragon, which is supposed to be another 360 killer RPG from Sakaguchi, Obino Uematsu, who composed all the Final Fantasy music, and the art was done by Akira Toriyama of Dragon Quest and Dragon Ball Z fame. I don't know if you've noticed, but Akira Toriyama likes to do animations and drawings for games that are called, that have Dragon in the title.
Huh.
So, that actually, after being, you know, so, people are like, oh, this game's gonna be really good, got a 6, 6.5, and a 7, which also surprised me very much.
Yeah, a little better than Layer, at least.
Little better than Layer. I don't think, now after seeing that, I think I'm going to wait for a couple more reviews till it gets closer to decide if I'm going to pick either of those games up. Because there are two other games in August that I'm really looking forward to that look really good that are shaping up.
Which ones?
As you know, this is probably a little-known title, but I want to try to push it and get as much sales for it as we possibly can. Shin Megami Tensei Persona 3 comes out in August. It was originally supposed to come out last week, but Atlus had a problem in the art book manufacturing and delayed the game for about a month. So we have to wait till, I think the same day as Bioshock, which Bioshock is also the other game that I am super excited about this month. So,
Next month, sorry.
Well, it's almost, August.
It's probably going to be next month by the time this thing gets uploaded anyway.
Yeah, it probably will be. So
the month of August, just put it that way, there you go.
Yeah, speaking of, Shin Megami Tensei Persona 3, I just want to talk about it a little bit, because people probably don't know a lot about it. The Shin Megami Tensei series, kind of these Japanese role-playing game series, and they normally all have to do with some kind of demonic monster things, like Nocturne, the, Tokyo was destroyed, basically, and you have to go around and figure it out after all these, like, demons from hell kind of invaded Tokyo, and, like, this group did experiments on you and turned you into, like, this half-demon.
Cool.
The Digital Devil Saga that came over was, you were these kids, it kind of didn't explain anything, but you were kind of just thrown into the, from what I've played so far, the first one, you're in this junkyard, and you have you're these kids, and somehow you turn into demons. I haven't figured out how this happens yet. But you turn into demons, and you fight like that. But in Persona 3, which has been a pretty good long-running... The first one started back on the PlayStation 1, and the second was also on the PlayStation 1, and it was about 7 years ago the last time we got a Persona game. So in Persona 3, you start out, and you're in this... You're just in... you're going to school, you're going to high school in Tokyo, it's your last year, your senior year, but then there's all these rumblings of this secret club or whatever, which sounds kind of dumb, but you go and you find out that these demons are trying to overtake Tokyo, which another, you know, persistent demon theme, with Shin Megami Tensei games. Persona 3, you're a high school kid, you hear rumblings of this, this kind of demon club or whatever, and you go and you find out that all these demons are trying to take over Tokyo, and the only way they appear and you can fight them is during the witching hour, which is like 12 or 1 o'clock, and you have to go and you battle them. But the interesting thing is that you have these thing called personas, which are these kind of demon manifestations in your mind. But the only way to get them to come out is if you watch the kids shoot themselves in the head with, right in the temple, and then their personas will come out. And it's awesome. Weird because it kind of kills themselves. They kill themselves, but then when their persona, like, finishes their battle, it'll go back into them and bring them back to life.
Oh, wow.
So, the game looks pretty cool. It's also got this kind of, you have to go to class, and there's this, like, dating sim thing, but you go to class and you do this dating sim, and it evolves the story, and I don't know. I just think we need to push for our little audience to go buy Persona 3. Because, as you know, since Persona 3 sold so well in Japan, they made an update disc called Fez, which, with the update disc, made the game about 30 hours longer. And it added a bunch of new content to it and extended out the story a little bit longer.
And which one did that update?
It updated Persona 3.
So was that just in Japan, though?
That was just Japan. They haven't said if we're getting it yet, but I heard when I listened to EGM's podcast, their executive editor, Shane Bettenhausen, said that he knows people that said if Persona 3 sells well enough in America, we will get Fez. So,
and all these games are released by Atlus, right?
All these games are, yes, released by Atlus.
If you're interested in some old-school Shin Megami Tensei gameplay, the translation group by the name of Aeon Genesis actually translated the original two SNES games, Shin Megami Tensei and Shin Megami Tensei 2. You can download the full translation patches for those and play them on any emulator.
Yes, which I highly recommend because they are very good RPGs.
You played the original two?
I've started to play the original two. I haven't played them all the way through.
Yeah, they were both they were released in 1992 and 1994. As I was saying, Aeon Genesis has translated both of those fully, so you can play them on any emulator.
So they're for SNES. So I'm thinking about putting them both on my PSP because PSP has a good SNES emulator, right?
Yeah, most games it emulates pretty well. From what I can see from the screenshots of these games, they're not exactly going to be, like, very high-action games, but no. Most of them you can expect to play for at least 50 hours.
That's what, people are saying that Persona 3 is going to clock in between 50 and 90 hours, depending on how many side quests you do. So,
oh, wow.
Persona 3 is going to be a lot of game. I say, anyone's listening, go give it a try. It's going to be the best RPG to come out all year. Just go get it. Best RPG of the year. In EGM, it got a 9.95 and a 9.5. It got gold medal. It basically got the same ranking as what God of War 2 got. So, this game's no joke. It's really good. Go get it. We need sales for it so we can get the Fez disc that'll come out. When you buy the game, every game comes with an art book and the soundtrack. There's no limited edition. It's just a thank you from Atlus for buying their game and for waiting so long for the third game to come out in the series. So, hopefully, anyone that's listening will go pick up Persona 3, will go play it and give it a try. Anyone's got a PS2, but it seems like almost every red-blooded American has a PS2 now. It's under the sun.
And even some of the blue-blooded Americans.
Yeah, even some. Because the game, I can't just say enough about it. Like, I've watched there's a thing now, you can go watch the first 42 minutes of gameplay. It just looks stellar. It looks really solid. Like, it's got this unique visual style it's reminiscent of, you know, the Shin Megami Tensei kind of all have the same art style, kind of. But it's still got that, but it still has its own kind of unique style to it, with retaining the core values of the Shin Megami Tensei series. I mean, even if you're not a big RPG fan, I think even if you're not a big one, you'll like it. The game is pretty graphic from what I've seen. I mean, considering you have to shoot yourself in the head and kill yourself at the beginning of every battle to get your persona to come out and fight for you. And that's pretty good. And considering you're a high school kid, I wonder if the game will ever raise some controversy. I kind of hope it does, because if it raises some controversy, sales might go up. So, I'm really
hoping.
Maybe
we'll have a visit from Mr. Thompson.
Maybe. And hopefully, what I'm hoping is that if this sells good enough, that maybe they'll do like a compilation disc of Shin Megami Tensei 1 and 2 and translate them and put them on like a PS2 compilation.
Maybe.
Because, remember they did that for Growlancer?
Growlancer Generations, yeah.
Remember they had it at my Blockbuster for $8, but it was disc only, and I didn't buy it.
Okay, what I want to get one of these days is the deluxe pack.
I know, they did have it for a while at my GameStop, but it was like $70. I didn't want to spend it at the time. I didn't have the money at the time because I didn't have a job.
Yeah, a lot of the Work and Designs games were that much when they first came out. It's becoming more sought after now because, you know, Work and Designs gone.
Gone.
And still we have not seen anything from Victor Ireland's new venture, Gaijin Works.
Yeah, hopefully we'll see something. I want to see something from the new Seed Studio, which is the leftover bits of the Clover Studio and Clover Made, Beautiful Joe and Okami and God Hand and some really good, not highly played games on the PS2.
You gotta admit, though, after a while, Beautiful Joe got kind of old once they, like, once they bastardized it with Red Hot Rumble and all
yeah,
those.
Yeah, but those weren't made by Clover.
Who are they made by?
Red Hot Rumble was not made by... I can't remember who Red Hot Rumble was made by, but it was not made by Clover. Clover made, they made 2, 1. They also made God Hand, which is a really cool beat-em-up. It's hilarious. Like, the game is just laugh-out-loud funny. It's like $15. You can't go wrong with it. It's a great game. If you like action, kind of crazy over-the-top beat-em-up games. And if you like hilarity in your games, it's really good. I would suggest that. Okami is a really cool game, too. It's kind of like Zelda with a dog.
Zelda with a dog, but the new Zelda game does have a dog.
Yeah, but the art style is... I like the art. The art style is really kind of Japanese, and it looks really cool. The game did not sell worth anything, but it's a really good game.
Okay.
So, after my gushing orgasm over Persona 3...
How about we will not use the term orgasm and just call it your Persona 3 rant?
Rant is... No, but we can't call it rant, because rant is when you get angry at something.
No. I've heard people have positive rants. The rant is just when you go off and you just continuously talk about something for no particular reason. That's what I always...
Alright, well... Persona 3, buy it. Pre-order on Amazon. You can save about $4, free shipping, no tax. So you really save about $6. Get it, buy it, love it. Will you check it out now, Game Master, after I've given this gushing, loving praise of it?
Loving, that just sounds too gay. But I may very well check it out, you never know.
I'm going to drop everything I'm playing when that game comes out, and I'm going to play it. Same with BioShock.
Okay, let's see if we can move on now.
Okay, after an hour of what we've been playing in the news. moving on to... we have a thing... What we're thinking... I mean, we keep talking about these games where Persona 3 and... other games, like Madden, it's going to be Madden 08, and it's like the 19th installment of Madden, or something crazy. I mean, games just keep getting sequel and sequel fever. I mean, it's just like, it's really hard now for any of these games to get a new IP down. See, like, I'm looking back, and I'm looking at all the games that are coming out this year, and next year, that are kind of anticipated. I mean, we got Metal Gear Solid 4, we have Grand Theft Auto 4, Halo 3, StarCraft 2, Super Smash Bros. Brawl, Mario Galaxy, Ratchet, Phantom Hourglass, Guitar Hero 3. There's so many sequels that are coming out. For you, Game Master, what makes you go back and replay the sequel, besides having fond memories of the first one?
If it was a game that I really liked, I'll play the sequel. If it was a game that I was kind of like, eh, about the first game, I won't play the sequel, which, of course, with me was in the case of Halo. The first Halo I thought was more or less a piece of garbage. Didn't play Halo 2. Don't think I'll ever get Halo 3 ever.
I got Halo 3... pre-ordered from a site called LionGames.com. $40 pre-ordered in full. So that's $20 off retail, so not a bad deal.
A lot of people think that site's fraud.
No, it's legit. It is legit, because that guy posts all the time on CAG, and people have bought a ton of stuff from him before, and he's legit, he's real. People have called him and talked to him on the phone before, and like...
How does he offer a $60 game for $40?
What he is doing is he is taking a hit on all of these big pre-order games, hoping that you will come back and do more business with him where he can make some money. So
okay, so he's actually losing that, like, $20 on the game.
Yeah, he's losing the money. He's hoping that this right now gives him some publicity and get his site's name out there and stuff like that.
Okay, so the rumor's been dispelled once and for all. Lion Games is a good site. Go there, buy stuff. Help this guy out.
It's legit. He posts on CAG all the time and he answers anyone's questions. And I know people that have bought in plenty of games from him. And that have traded him in and pre-ordered stuff. So, yeah, I got that pre-ordered from him. I have Assassin's Creed for $45 pre-ordered from him. I have Grand Theft Auto 4 for $42 pre-ordered from him. And I have Mass Effect for $40 pre-ordered from him. So,
is it just the regular Halo 3 edition or the MasterChef special?
Just the regular. I don't really
the
need Master
the MasterChef special.
I don't need the MasterChef special. I'm just looking forward to MasterChef Mountain Dew.
MasterChef Berry.
Yeah, MasterChef Berry. So, besides that and Sequel Fever and my easy ability to get us detracted, let's get back on topic.
You well, say, that's what we were talking about, Sequel Fever.
Sequel Fever. Say, so I heard you say, you know, you'll play it if you liked the first one, but say the sequel comes out and they address all the problems with the first one in the sequel, would you give the second one a chance?
Well, with these days of downloadable demos and trailers and stuff, it's more easy to see if a game is good enough to buy anymore, because you can actually just download the demo and play it. So if I download a demo and I like the demo enough and it's like, wow, I'd actually probably play this game, not let it sit on the shelf, it would be more likely for me to actually buy a game. But the thing is, if I didn't like the first one, I won't just buy the sequel based on hype, website posts, and junk like that alone.
Yeah. The people I hate are the people that go to a site, look at the score for a game, and then say, oh, that game's crap based off the score. Like, if I'm interested in a game, I'll look at the score, I'll read the review, and then I'll know why he got that score out of that review. Like, I can't just look... If you look at a score, it's a number assigned to a game.
Like, exactly.
You have to read the review and know what they say about it to know what's wrong and what's good with the game. I mean, you know, the guy could just have a gripe with one feature that was glaring to him, but the rest of the game could be really good, you know?
That's just like all those people who reviewed Lunar Dragon Song, and they didn't like that you couldn't select the enemies you wanted to attack, and you got hurt when you ran. And they based the whole review on those two factors, where it had a decent story, great character art. In other words, it was a good game. It didn't live up to Lunar pedigree, but still, it was a good RPG for the DS, but most people were just blinded by the fact that it had these two fatal flaws, and they're like, oh, this game sucks. I think even X-Play was like, when you run, you get hurt, you can't select your characters, I hate this game, it's bad, and I think they gave it like a 2.
Yeah, like, I'm just starting to get to the point where Morgan Manjaw Webb is just, I don't know if either of them play games. From what I've heard is that they might, but they don't play, like, hardly any. If you know, all their reviews are freelance reviews. Like, none of them are written by, they don't have any permanent staff on G4 that reviews games. They pay out to get these freelance reviews of stuff. So what I'm thinking on G4 is I take every review they say with a grain of salt, because, you know, like, their 5-minute blurb with a bunch of pop culture references, although sometimes, you know, they do make me chuckle, just aren't enough for me. Like, I'll go to GameSpot or I'll go to 1UP and I'll read their, 1,500 word write-up of the game and stuff. And then I'll know I'll have a good feeling for the game and everything that's inside of there. Like, in their 5-minute blurb with their celebrity impersonations, I can't really get a feel for, like, the game's controls or the game's graphics or the stuff that's, the more niche, like, not really niche, but what I'm trying to say is, when you watch those, you can't really get a feel for the real technical terms in games that you would get if you went to, like, a site and read their reviews and stuff, because it seems like they're more streamlined for the main audience to, the mainstream media to kind of digest.
Yeah, basically, X-Play is just made so it's entertaining.
Yeah.
It's like, not made to be a guide for games to buy, but, like, most of their games that are fives are usually pretty decent games.
Yeah. Like, they gave, back in the day, they gave Shinobi for PS2 a 5. The game is good, but I would give it, like, a 7. I would not give it a 5. So, there's lots of games they give 5s I don't agree with. Like, they give Crackdown a 5. Crackdown's a good game, but it's definitely not perfect. As you know, we can beat Crackdown in, like, 2.5 hours.
Yeah, that game is kind of short.
Real short. We should just call Crackdown the Halo 3 beta.
Huh.
Halo 3 game you got with the Halo 3 beta. Yeah. Kind of like the... remember Zone of the Enders, the free game you got with the Metal Gear Solid 2 demo?
Yeah, I remember hearing a lot of people bought that because it just came with the Metal Gear Solid 2 demo.
What I was hoping for is they would announce a Zone of the Enders 3. No. In Metal Gear Solid 4, they pack in a Zone of the Enders 3 demo.
There you go.
Because Zone of the Enders was a really cool game if you ever played it.
No, I never really got a chance to play that one.
They're really cool. I like them. They're Kojima mech games, and, Kojima kind of knows what he's doing. And they kind of look like Metal Gears, which is pretty cool.
Solid Metal Gears?
No. Metal Gear.
Okay, well, next about, one of the, series I like to always bring up when I talk about sequels is Soul Calibur. A lot of people don't know that the game will soon be a 5-game series, not 4.
Exactly. No, wait. Do you encount Soul Calibur Legends, the Wii action game?
It's called the spin-off, and it's not considered part of the series, so no. It's just like calling Dead or Alive Extreme Beach Volleyball a game in the Dead or Alive main series, which it's not.
Exactly.
But, basically, the first game was Soul Edge in the arcades. It was later brought back as Soul Blade on the PlayStation in America. In Japan, it was still called Soul Edge. That game, the thing that I liked the best about it that got dumped from Soul Calibur was the multi-directional run. You could just, like, run in any way you wanted to, but they took that out in Soul Calibur, which was okay. But still, it's just one of those things that game always seemed to have that I just liked that they ripped out from Soul Calibur.
I was going to say, yeah, I agree with you. Like that. And Soul Edge, that was a lot... Yeah, I kind of like the multi-directional. I thought they brought that back in 3, though. I thought you could do that in 3.
No, I didn't think you could.
It's not as free as it was, say, in Soul Blade, but you can, like, multi-direction run now.
Yeah, it was kind of still there, in other words.
Yeah, it's there, but it's not as easy as it was in Blade.
One of the things that I didn't... Speaking of sequels, going from Soul Calibur to Soul Calibur 2, it more or less felt like the graphics were a little better, the gameplay was not too changed, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and it was broken. You gotta admit that Zasalmel and Setsuka, I've probably already said this a bunch of times on the podcast.
I said Soul Calibur to Soul Calibur 2.
Oh, I thought you said Soul Calibur SC2 no. to SC3, sorry.
Soul Calibur to Soul Calibur 2 basically felt more or less like Soul Calibur 2 was more or less Soul Calibur with better graphics and a couple added characters. Now, Soul Calibur 2 to Soul Calibur 3, I thought felt more or less like, now here's your same Soul Calibur formula, but we're going to add all this extra stuff, like a creative character mode, that real-time strategy type mode, then there's your still normal arcade mode and everything, all bundled into one package, and you feel like you're just getting more value than you would be from, like, say, Soul Calibur 2, that was more or less, oh, here's Soul Calibur 2, but you get Spawn with it. Wow.
Oh, God. Yeah. So, the only thing I didn't like about 3, which is probably just because I got so pissed at playing my friend who was a Solomel all the time, is that...
Zossolomel. Now with extra Zossolomel.
And crunchy peanuts.
Now with extra Zossolomel and crunchy Tiras.
Oh, gosh. Is this
they'd be like these big blade circle things.
The Solomel was like he was as strong as Astaroth, but like just about as fast as Mitsurugi.
And his ass was bigger.
Yeah, that too.
Because whenever I hear Astaroth, I always just think ass.
It's very true.
Because it's like the strongest syllable in the word Astaroth.
Astaroth.
It's like Sephiroth, but with an S.
Sephir Astaroth.
Close enough. But so, Soul Calibur 4 graphically is looking to be a amazing game, graphically. Yeah,
it does. And this is like over a year off, so... Hopefully... it'll turn out to be very stellar, just like all the other...
You said stellar. That sounds like something from, like, the freaking 70s.
You want me to say tubular?
Yeah, I like that better.
Alright, I'll say tubular.
What series do you think is a good example of going from sequel to sequel? Like, improving, not improving?
Well, what I've noticed, games that have gotten worse over their sequels, is Spyro. People are thinking.
I never really played much Spyro. I thought that game was kind of like a piece of shit when I played it on the PlayStation.
Little did you know, Spyro was made by the first three Spyros were made by Insomniac, which you know made Resistance and made Ratchet.
Oh, and touching back on our Soul Calibur thing, I just wanted to say, EB Games and GameStop still have it as a 1/1/08 release date, but it's one of those things. Nobody really knows when it's going to come out.
They said fall. They said fall 08.
I know a lot of people are going to yell at you when you say over a year away.
Well, it is. Yeah, it's going to be over a year away. I don't care what they tell me.
It's one of those things we'll never know. You never know. Very well, could be a spring, a summer release. Probably, most likely, if anything, it'll be like a beginning of the year in Japan. Middle of the year here.
No, what they said when 1UP went to the Soul Calibur offices, the Namco offices in Japan, that Soul Calibur 4 was not coming out till fall of next year. So that's what they said. That's what I'm taking it as, and you can hold me to it because I will be right. They said Japan, U.S., same time.
Yeah, that's one thing I love about this generation. Simultaneous releases. We need that. I just hate when,
cough,
like...
Cough, cough, Final Fantasy, cough, cough.
Yeah, I just... Well, yeah, that's one of those games. They say that Final Fantasy 13 will take a year, if not more, to translate. So that game, you're going to, like, get it maybe late 2008, beginning 2009 in Japan, and then you're not going to see it until, like... late 2009 to 2010 in the USA.
Yeah, so I am like Final Fantasy 13 is so far off my radar right now that, you know, people are like, "Oh, it's going to save the system." How is it going to save the system? The system will probably only need to be dead by then.
Yeah, you'll be talking about Xbox 720 by then.
Yeah, I know.
Or maybe seriously, they'll be cool and they'll call it Xbox 420.
That would be pretty awesome.
I'd sit in camp for that if it was called Xbox 420. Just because I'd be like, and over there's my big 420.
So, talking about sequels.
Well, you were talking about your beloved Spyro series, so you can continue on that.
So Spyro is good. The first three, then Insomniac stopped and jumped over and made Ratchet, and then Spyro was handed off to some other developer, and it just sucked. So, After that, that's gotten pretty bad. Same with Crash Bandicoot. The first three were made by Naughty Dog. And then the rest just kind of sucked because they went to different developers.
Yeah, that goes the same thing as Twisted Metal. Twisted Metal 1 and 2 were made by Single Track, whereas Twisted Metal 3 and 4 were made by 989 Studios, who took a dump in the freaking game disc and made them garbage, basically. Although Twisted Metal 4 did help bring back the series a little bit, but by then nobody really cared.
But Twisted Metal Black brought it back all the way, because the original guy, if anybody doesn't know, David Jaffe is the creator of Twisted Metal. He brought back Twisted Metal Black. He brought it back to its roots. He was the guy who made it and brought it back and made it good again.
You mean Twisted Metal African American?
Exactly, my friend. Exactly.
Just so, like Ninja Gaiden, African American.
Oh, gosh.
I just had to say that.
Speaking of African American.
You can't say black. That's racist.
Speaking of African American, did you see the extended Resident Evil 5 trailer?
Yeah, I saw that.
Doesn't it look pretty awesome?
It looks pretty cool, but it's not one of those things that's making me jump up and down and say, I must get this game now.
It made me say that. Did you watch when he like reared back and punched that guy in the face and he went flying and all those other ones went around him?
Do you think is that actually in-game?
That's in-game. No, that's in-game. Because it's going to play similar to how Resident Evil 4 played.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, but that's in-game. Game graphically looks great. So, wrapping up our sequel talk and wrapping this thing podcast up.
There's one more big thing I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
This goes without saying, of course, Dead or Alive.
Yes.
Dead or Alive was one of those series. Back when Dead or Alive 1 came out, nobody really cared. In fact, before I had the first game, I went to a Funko Land game, which of course is now the Funko Land store, which is now defunct. You know, they don't have those anymore.
Yep.
But back in that day, I asked the guys, what's Dead or Alive? I've never heard of this game. They're like, oh, it's kind of like Tekken, but it's not as good. If I could ever find those freaking guys, like, today, I would take my PlayStation 2 and shove it up their ass. Because Dead or Alive, when I picked that game up, I think I got it at, like, Toys R Us for, like, $16 brand new at the time. Because, you know, it was, like, a year or two old at that point, and still no Dead or Alive 2 even on the horizon. I played the game, I'm like, oh, wow, this game's awesome. The combos just flowed nicely. The graphics were decent for PlayStation. I was like, oh, wow, this is a cool game. I even got all my friends to play it. And, of course, you know, a lot of them were like, nah, this will never amount to anything. There's never going to be another Dead or Alive game. I just love, like, recalling those memories and just, like, thinking it today. And we're all, it's, like, one of the premier fighting franchises now.
Yeah.
Of course, the biggest jump is Dead or Alive 1 to Dead or Alive 2.
Yeah,
that because
is
you're talking
jump.
Like basic 3D graphics to more realistic 3D graphics, and of course the whole mechanic and the counter system was born in Dead or Alive 2, basically.
But yeah,
it was kind of there in the original. Like Kasumi could counter some moves, and there's some other characters that could kind of counter some moves in the original Dead or Alive. But yeah, it was brought to fruition in Dead or Alive 2.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you've, but I think the difference between Dead or Alive 3 seems like Dead or Alive 2 with a couple more characters and prettier graphics.
The thing is about that game, it's one of those things. A lot of the PS2 fanboys, if I'm blunt here, I had a PS2, I was a fanboy for a time, but a lot of the PS2 fanboys saw Dead or Alive 3, and they're like, oh, wow, there's no difference at all. You know, they didn't see that the geometry looks better, the graphics look better, all the textures are now bump-mapped, and the graphics just stick out a lot more. A lot of the movesets were nice and tweaked, especially if you played Dead or Alive 3.2, which is the PAL version. I must have mentioned this at least 50 times on other podcasts, but The PAL version has all the moves of the Japanese versions, and some even some more upgrades. It works fine on my modded Xbox. Doesn't work on the 360 because of a stupid gay region lock. But, yeah, Dead or Alive 3.2 is the pedigree in the Dead or Alive 3, basically. But the tweaks are not so defined as 1 to 2. 2 to 3, it's kind of... It's there if you're a hardcore Dead or Alive fan, you'll see it. If you're not so much, you'll be like... Differences? What differences? Yeah.
But I think there's a bigger jump between 3 and 4 than there is between 2 and 3.
Of course, yeah, the jump is just so great.
It's so much faster gameplay. Oh, shit.
Yeah, gameplay-wise, what happened?
I knocked over, like, 5 cans. If you look at my desk, it's like computer screen, edge of computer screen to edge of desk is nothing but Mountain Dew cans. There literally must be, like, 13 or 14 Mountain Dew cans on my desk.
Okay, well, back to Dead or Alive, the gameplay mechanic is the most tweaked thing because, like, your counter time is cut in half, moves are just faster, the gameplay just flows a lot faster, and the game's just really faster.
Yeah, it is. They cut down, if anyone wants to know, they cut down the frames it takes to counter from 22 to 11. So you really have to get down your counters at the right time to actually be able to counter. And they changed up a lot of guys, and they gave some people, like, almost completely new movesets, like Hayabusa plays completely different between 3 and 4. And Hayate plays a good bit different between 3 and 4 also.
But they still have some of their... if you were a decent player on 3, you can still play him okay on 4.
Yeah. It's not as broad of a difference as it is in Tekken 4 and 5 with Jin.
Basically, our basic point of this whole elongated conversation here is some sequels, it's great. It's like breath of fresh air. Like, I think Soul Calibur 4 is going to be awesome.
Yes.
But where some sequels, like, as Inufei had mentioned in Spyro and, like, in the Twisted Metal 3 and 4, some sequels, when they get passed off to different developers, they're just garbage, and nobody wants to buy garbage. Except for those people who bought that New York garbage off that website that one time.
Oh my gosh.
I'm not kidding.
I saw that. I remember.
He actually sold plastic boxes, if you didn't hear this from, like, a while ago. Plastic boxes full of garbage from New York, and people actually bought it.
It's crazy.
Yeah, crazy stuff there. But yeah, we all just right. want a good sequel. We don't want bad stuff.
We don't want to cash in.
Yeah, basically, we don't want a game made just for the sake of making another one.
Exactly.
Well, there's one more thing I'd like to say. As I told Inufei yesterday, I actually got a free scanner because I fixed my uncle's computer. Good thing about that, Game Nexus fans, yeah, we do have a website here too, not that I updated that often, but I'll actually be using the scanner to scan in some magazine stuff, just some stuff I've been wanting to put on the site, such as the original warning card from the Xbox, there's some ESRB ratings chart I got from that, there's a few things I just want to put on the website that I want to scan in, and this scanner works awesome, really.
Sweet.
Well, actually, remember last podcast you posed a question to everybody.
And I never got an answer. I guess I stumped everyone.
Okay, so just remind us, what was your question?
My question was, the company Rooster Teeth made a... famous for making the series Red vs. Blue. Also made another mini-series that only lasted a couple of episodes, and you can only get on the collector's edition of one game. I want to know what the name of that game was that came on, and what was the name of the series. And so the answer to the question was Fear. They made a series called Panics. P.A.N.I.C.S. And it only came on the director's edition on the PC version.
did Panics actually stand for something?
Yeah, it stood for something that was pretty funny. I can't remember what it was off the top of my head. But that was the answer to that. No winners this week. Well, if I can think of a random question off the top of my head, I'll ask it. Okay. Since we've kind of had a big Shin Megami Tensei episode, I was thinking about going to ask a trivia question about one game. In Shin Megami Tensei Nocturne, there is a cameo from another famous video game character. That video game character is not in an Atlus series, and he's not in Shin Megami Tensei series. So, given that, what character is it, and what game is he from? I'll give you a hint. He's from the production company, he's from the development studio, starts with a C. That's the only hint you're getting. Maybe a little easier.
Okay.
So, if anyone gets it, email me at inufe@gmail.com. And if anyone wins, I will read you out loud on the podcast. And if anyone has any questions, you can go to our forums. Or you can go to... you can send us an MP3 question to inufe@gmail.com. Or GameMaster14@gmail.com.
And we'll answer it on the air.
We sure will, and you will have your own slice of podcast heaven. We will answer our
now,
questions.
Now, if somebody actually answers your question right, do you have a prize for them?
I sure do, and that prize will be a surprise. Just give me your mailing address, and I will mail you something fantabulous. It could be an old sock.
Fantabulous-tastic.
It could be an old sock, or it could be a $50 gift certificate to Best Buy. It's like one of those...
Or it could...
Yeah, it's just random.
It could be one of Inufe's Kmart bargain games.
Exactly. You know, you never know what you're going to get. It could be good, could be gold, could be absolute shit.
Life is like a box of chocolates.
You never know what you're going to get.
There's my boat. What the hell's that? Okay, well...
Four strength, four stem leather belt.
Okay, well, that's the podcast for this week. I am Game Master 14, and...
Last time I checked, I was Inufe, and I'm going to go get some deep.
And we are out.